Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. It can be found on page 119 in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Glory be to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear Lord, open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, that we shall be encouraged and inspired today on our journey of faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please sit. Well, it is a very special Sunday today, Pentecost Sunday, hence all the red. Are you expectant of a supernatural move of God in your life today? Would you like to have an experience of his presence on this very special day of Pentecost, also known as Whit Sunday, the second most important Sunday in the Christian year after Easter? Well then, let us be transported in our imagination to the scene of the first Pentecost in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. It was 50 days since Jesus had been crucified. At least 500 witnesses had seen him alive in different locations, and then he had ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. His disciples had watched him go into the clouds, and an angel had appeared there and told them that one day he would return to earth on that same spot. But Jesus had made them a promise. The Holy Spirit was coming, the Spirit of truth, who would be a guide to all truth and would speak of the future, bringing glory to Jesus and the Heavenly Father. He could not be sent until Jesus had returned to heaven. And so they were waiting in Jerusalem for his arrival. Well, waiting is not easy, is it? How many of us have waited on Stoke Hill for a number 4 bus into town? At least we have the electronic board to tell us how late it will be. In the past, I've given up and started to walk, which is when the bus always turns up, of course. On Thursday night, we'll be waiting for the results of the general election, a critical time in this country's history. We don't expect to wait long for anything, because we live in an age of instant gratification. Internet phones in our pockets and modern communications, which enable us to travel easily and make global contacts. But for the disciples, the waiting must have seemed endless. 10 days had now passed since Jesus' departure. That day, which we now celebrate as we did, Ascension Day. They were now having breakfast together in an upper room, about 120 of them behind locked doors, and getting impatient. The Harvest of Weeks festival was happening in Jerusalem It always took place 50 days after Passover. It was a double celebration, giving thanks to God for the wheat harvest and also for the giving of the Ten Commandments, the law, making it both an agricultural and religious festival, to which Jews were drawn from all over the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, representatives of all the nations, speaking many different languages. When suddenly a roaring, violent wind rushed into that upper room, not a destructive wind like a tornado or a cyclone, it was the Holy Spirit who had arrived. Jesus had kept his promise. The disciples knew that something fantastic and amazing was happening, and their fears, their uncertainties, their doubts were being blown away and replaced with peace and joy. 3 years earlier, John the Baptist had predicted, "One mightier than me is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And now they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they began to speak in other languages. Hearing the commotion and noise, a multinational crowd gathered outside. And as the disciples came onto the streets, people were amazed to find that they could understand the praises of God being spoken in their own languages. Verse 12 of Acts 2 tells us, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'Are these men drunk?' 'No,' said Peter. 'Since it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, they could hardly be drunk.' And he explained that what had happened was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had been predicted by the prophet Joel. And now all men and women would be able to prophesy and have visions and dreams." Have you ever mixed with royalty, flown in a private jet, or been invited to an exclusive party? Nor me. Such treatment is usually reserved for those who have money, fame, or position. In the same way, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit seemed to be a rare and special gift which only a privileged elite would experience, such as Moses did, and Gideon, Samuel, or Isaiah. And in those days, it was highly unlikely that an ordinary person would be filled by the Holy Spirit. God was still remote, and access to him had to be mediated by priests and carried out in the temple. The words of the prophet Joel, however, suggested that an entirely new relationship with God was going to become possible, and this was the turning point on this day of Pentecost. The Spirit had come in wind and fire, and God could now be experienced in a living reality within each person to empower, guide, teach, and encourage. There is no favoritism with God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is available to everyone. Peter and the other disciples, who had been pretty lackluster up till now, were transformed from weak to mighty warriors after this experience. So how can we be challenged to live a lifestyle where we are confident and bold to use the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority we are given in the name of Jesus? Well, first of all, we need to be sure that we have committed ourselves to a personal relationship with Jesus. Acts 2:21, the last verse of Joel's prophecy says, "And everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved." Jesus died on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven and we can pass over from death to life, eternal life. All we have to do is to say sorry and repent, meaning it, of all our wrongdoings and accept the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Then we need to ask the Lord each day for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. So often we can be afraid of leaving behind the security of familiar things. But God wants us to be carried on the wings of the Spirit. He wants to show us new things, signs and wonders. He wants to restore broken relationships in our lives and heal the wounds of the past. He can also guide our steps very precisely if you will trust him to do this. I vividly remember an experience I had of driving my family through Paris many years ago, before the days of owning a sat-nav. We were trying to reach a hotel where we had booked to stay for a couple of nights. I knew that I was hopelessly lost. It was getting dark, and my schoolgirl knowledge of French had got me nowhere. I desperately sent up an arrow prayer, "Holy Spirit, please help me to find this accommodation. I am so tired of driving around in circles." I felt a surge of energy as I gripped the driving wheel again, and an inclination to take a right-hand turn at the next traffic lights and then continue straight on. Then a voice in my head seemed to say, "Take the second exit at the next roundabout and drive to the end of the street." And there it was. Our destination hotel had been only 10 minutes away. My guide that day, the Spirit of Truth, also known as the Helper, Counselor, Comforter, Advocate, and Intercessor, will also guide you through the journey of life. When we recognize who Jesus Christ is, and make a decision to live as his disciple, then the Spirit already within us is released to grow and develop to its full potential. How far and fast we travel with him is up to us. We have been given free will, but if we give him full access, even the dark corners of our mind, then we will be empowered to do remarkable things through the spiritual gifts we can receive to equip us, as described in 1 Corinthians 12, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers. Since Ascension Day, we have been called to join a 9-day global prayer initiative by Archbishop Justin Welby. If you were here last week, I hope you noticed the 4 prayer stations that were set up at the back of the church to inspire us to pray, "Thy kingdom come," from the Lord's Prayer. The kingdom of God was launched on earth when Jesus came for the first time and was accompanied by signs and wonders. Miracles. What happened at Pentecost was that a remnant of God's people became the Spirit-filled body of Christ. When Jesus returns, his second coming will see the kingdom of heaven finally and fully established. Many of us struggle in our Christian walk. Take heart. We can pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit this very day, because he has never left the church. And then we shall never be alone. We will have a guide to help us distinguish truth from fake news and other deceptions. We shall be empowered to walk in God's plans and purposes for our lives. And when we hear of terrorist attacks, we shall have no fear, because we know we have a protector and a helper. And so this morning, I would like to pray that prayer, if you would like to join me now. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you also that when Jesus ascended to heaven, you did not leave us alone as orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and equip, enable, comfort, and teach us truth. We pray that you will fill us today with the Holy Spirit so that we may be empowered to serve you and be confident in our faith to share the good news of Jesus with others. In his name we ask this. Amen.